Mark Williams, welcome to Toronto and to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you. It's fantastic to be here.
I think your first official day on the job was just under 2 weeks ago. How do you like your new office?
The office is great, but more importantly, I am thrilled to be living in this incredible city and working with the extraordinary musicians, staff, board, and music director of the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. It's really a dream for me.
Well, I wanted to ask you actually because, you know, the TSO has been enjoying connecting with our new music director, Gustavo Jimeno, but I understand your relationship with him predates ours from your days in Cleveland. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I met Gustavo originally in the summer of 2015. We at the Cleveland Orchestra hired him to be a guest conductor to conduct the orchestra in a program of Dvorak and Beethoven at our summer music venue. As it turns out, and I didn't realize this at the time, but that was his U.S. conducting debut. So I think he holds the orchestra in a very special place and that whole experience. And of course, I found him already at that time to be a very serious and deep musician and a wonderfully kind and elegant person. And so over the years, of course, his debut went well, and we brought him back many times with the orchestra. And over the years, I had the opportunity to get to know him better on those visits. So when I was presented with an opportunity to work with him on a regular basis, it was very exciting for me.
What do you like about working with him?
I really enjoy the seriousness of the music making. He is an incredibly hard worker, a deep and detailed musician, an incredibly thoughtful and creative person. And all of that is balanced out with a sort of personal lightness. If you've ever met him, you know how charming he is, what a wonderful smile he has. And he's a wonderful person to be around. And we of course, also have a lot of shared interests, which mostly center around great restaurants. So all in all, he's a real delight to work with.
Now, I wanted to ask you a bit about your background, because I understand you graduated from the Cleveland Institute as a horn player. How did you, or what prompted you to make this shift into arts administration?
You know, it's funny. I did graduate from the Cleveland Institute of Music with a degree in French horn performance. And I began studies in New York at NYU, working with the principal and second horn of the Metropolitan Opera. I was mostly studying with the second horn of the Met Opera at that time. And I moved to New York, if I'm to be perfectly frank, because I wanted to move to New York, but I was really too afraid to, or maybe I was afraid of being the cliche of picking up and moving to New York to find myself. And one of the things that became very clear to me when I was there and doing my study was that I wasn't entirely committed to the idea of being an orchestral musician. And I really thought that there were a number of things that I could do and could be happy. And I was surrounded by these people who were singularly focused on playing their instrument and getting a great orchestra job. And you know what? Many of those people have done that. I wasn't that person. I was always looking into this or that I could do. And a dear friend of mine was an opera singer and was really at the point where management would be part of her life. And she said to me one day, you know, you're reasonably intelligent and kind of organized. Have you ever thought about management? And that was really the first moment where I considered that as a viable option. And being in New York, I was able to meet some people who could educate me on that part of the business. And ultimately, that's where I ended up.
It's interesting because I read that earlier in your career, you were in the artist management side, like dealing with the artists who get hired by institutions like the TSO, you know, and the different presenters. Now you're on the flip side and you've been, you know, with hiring institutional side for a while. What perspective does that bring, like having been in artist management?
I would say that it brings a very good perspective because I see the business, as it were, from a number of different angles. And ultimately, you know, so in artist management, right, you have a roster of artists, usually soloists or conductors, or I suppose they could be theater directors or whatnot, for whom you're responsible. And your job is to go and get high quality work for them and manage all of the logistics of them completing that work, and it, you're thinking about the long-term structure and longevity of their career. That's not so different from working in an orchestra. The difference is that the artists are more and that they are here in the place where you are. So I bring a lot of my music artist management skills to bear in the work that I do working with orchestras. And it was wonderful for me to really be on the front lines to learn about how the art is made from the artist's perspective, and also to really understand how difficult that life is. And I think for me, combined with, you know, my own experience as a musician, certainly never at the level of the Toronto Symphony Orchestra, I would have dreamed of that. But I think those two things together have developed an empathy in me that helps me do my job better.
Now, you've been inside the belly of the Symphony Orchestra piece for some time now, working with the San Francisco Symphony and the Cleveland Orchestra, one of America's Big Five. What attracted you to the TSO?
First and foremost, quality. As you mentioned, I worked in Cleveland before. I worked at the San Francisco Symphony before that. When I was in arts management, I worked with, you know, Renee Fleming and Julia Bartley and Don Upshaw. In so many ways, I think it's fair to say I've lived in some rarefied air. For me to do this work, one has to believe in the art. One has to believe in what happens on stage. And, you know, and it's beyond believing in the power of music. Okay, I believe in the power of music, but do you believe in these artists? So the thing that first attracted me to Toronto was the quality of the musicians and the quality of the music making. And of course, that's the orchestra and it's the music director. So that was first and foremost. I would say second for me was the dedication and the professionalism and the interest and the passion that I saw and experienced from the board and the staff. And I would say third for me, it was this incredible city. A city that's so diverse, a city that is large and has great energy and restaurants and arts and culture and sports and a great airport, and all of those things came together for me in such a way that it was a no-brainer that I would want to come here.
How has it been for you and your husband to pick up and move north of the border?
You know, it's really hard. That's... That sounds obvious, but in a way, it was a bit of a surprise for me because in this life that I lead, I've moved around more than most. A decade ago, we moved from San Francisco to Cleveland, and I imagined that it would be about the same. Well, it's not. Moving to a new country and figuring all of that stuff out and being an adult with an actual home and real furniture and memorabilia and things that you'd like to keep. But really, the main part is that I forgot that I was a decade older. So it was tough, but we're very, very happy to be here now.
I'm curious because, you know, this is a sociopolitical moment where institutions with colonial origins, such as symphony orchestras, right, are having to justify their portion of the space in a way that they haven't had to really in the past. Although I of the opinion that it's been coming in North America for a couple of decades now. But I'm curious, what is your take on the place of the art form of the symphony orchestra in today's world?
I think symphony orchestras are vital because they bring people together. They create opportunities for us to come together and share music. And in a way, they are models of what we in society could be. I mean, imagine if we could all get together and bow in the same direction. I mean, maybe that's a bit glib, but really, I mean, I think symphony orchestras are great models of what we could be. The other piece here is that the ways in which symphony orchestras contribute in the community, and it's something that maybe we don't talk enough about, but, you know, these orchestra members who are your friends and neighbors are also teachers, for example, and they are teaching at the universities and high schools and teaching privately and passing on the gift of and the skill of making music to other people. They're playing in care homes and for for sick people. And I mean, what orchestras and orchestra members do widely in our community is really quite a lot. And so I think our communities would be a lot less rich without them.
And if I'm not mistaken, you're the first BIPOC CEO of a major symphony orchestra in North America. What does that mean to you?
It's very emotional to hear that for me. Because of course I feel proud of my accomplishment and I feel incredibly honored to lead an organization like the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. I also simultaneously feel very sad because I'm not the first person who has wanted this. I'm not the first person who's worked hard for it, and I'm certainly not the first person who's been qualified for it. But somehow I'm in this moment and it's me. And it is an enormous responsibility because people from within my community, African-American, Black, however you would want to slice that, especially here in Canada, and people from outside of my community are looking and watching. There's a very strange moment when you're sort of going along in your life and you realize, oh my gosh, I've become a role model for someone. So, excitement, honored, and maybe a bit sad that it took this long. But I might be the first, but I certainly will not be the last. And I have a responsibility to help those people behind me to come to this level as well.
What do you see as the potential of the TSO, just celebrating 100 years now, going forward? Do you have a specific vision of where you want the orchestra to go? If so, what is that?
That's a great question. And in a way, I suppose an obvious question. One of the things I've really committed myself to in this first period is to listen. You know, great orchestras play like it's chamber music, and one plays chamber music by listening. And as a leader, the Toronto Symphony Orchestra has been around for 100 years. I cannot come in and make assumptions based on my experience in Cleveland or San Francisco or anywhere else that I know what's best for this community or that I know what's best for this orchestra. I certainly have experience and I have ideas, but it's very humbling to come into an institution like this and have the strength to be quiet and to listen to the stakeholders and the people who are passionate about the institution internally and externally, to hear what their dreams and their visions are, what their history is with the organization and where they think it should go. And my plan is to take all of that information with the ideas that I came in with and the experience that I have to really start plotting and, of course, working with Gustavo Gimeno on his artistic vision to really start plotting the plan for the future.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Again, a warm welcome to you. And I hope you'll enjoy the many restaurants that Toronto has to offer. I'm sure there are plenty of people in the orchestra who can point you in several excellent directions. But Mark Williams, thanks so much for taking time to speak with me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.